Blog Talk Radio.
Protests and growing national outcries continue over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a GC3, ain't no more feel of speed. I gave him chance again, I even just told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead, but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen. I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even. So us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was crushed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk, then I sobered up quick. When I heard all that time that they gave to Talib, he got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment. How the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames on. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fuck up the way that we living is not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive. Overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign. Seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on. I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind, if they right or they wrong. I call them now, he'll pick up the phone, and it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell them wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line. He gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. You gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters. I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something. So this what it comes to. Every video I see on my country, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from. But I'd be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercation with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope, but I'm telling my youngest to vote. I did what I did cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know, but it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no game. Ain't taking no more, let us go for them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to kill us, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, some shit I can't mention. It's people who can, well here's the chance. I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can be. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood, no, I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
Yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio. This is Sunday Talk with your host, Tone. I got my co-host, John. What's good?
What's up, people? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
What's going on?
You already know.
What's going on? 93 degrees. I'm cooling.
What up, superstar? That's what's up. Let me throw on my shades today because it's a beautiful day.
Beautiful, man. It's so hot out here. is 93 degrees here in New York.
It's about 89, 90 outside in Maryland. What it look like in Atlanta, Nell?
It feel like it's 195 degrees down this joint.
Crazy.
I'm telling you, bro. It's so hot you're afraid to sneeze.
Yeah. No, it's the type of heat where, yeah, man, you just like holler at me when the sun go down.
Real talk.
Thanks. I don't be really going outside like that, so I don't be knowing what it feel like outside. It's no sun. But we back, man. We took a 2 week little, you know, 2 week break. You know, we had Father's Day, then John had a birthday. So we back. You know what I mean, I ain't gonna waste no time. We gonna jump right into it, man. I got three topics I wanna discuss tonight. Hopefully we get through all three of them. The first thing being, actually, we got four. I just want to say congratulations to the young kid that went to Howard. That he was supposed to go to Kansas, but he, you know, he opted out of that. He going to a HBCU, so that's dope. I don't want to mess up his name. I can't say his first name. I know his last name is Maker. It's like Makar Maker, something like that. Y'all seen this story?
Yes, sir. Super excited about that one.
Nails, have you seen the story?
Yeah, I saw the story. I think it's Don Maker Brothers.
He says John?
No, his Don Maker was in the I think he's still in the league. I think he's just a free agent. But he was with the Bucks for a little minute. I think Shorty is his younger brother, though.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope, man. That's awesome, man. I hope he set a trend. I know we talked about this like 2 weeks ago. I hope he set a trend where they say he was like the number 14th, ranked number 14th in the nation. So that's pretty big. And as I said, he chose Howard over Kansas, so that's a good look, man. I'm hoping these young brothers, they all make that change and go to a HBCU. It definitely will be a dope thing. It definitely will change the competition. You know what I'm saying? We could see a lot more HBCUs in the Sweet 16 and the Final Four, even winning the whole thing. You know what I mean? So shout out to him. I just wanted to, you know, start the show off with that. Now, let's get in.
Definitely change the competition.
Definitely. It will, all the way. So it's been a thing on. I'm a big Shannon Sharp fan. Undisputed. So it's been this whole thing about LeBron. You know, they're making it LeBron versus Kyrie, right? So you got half of the NBA players saying that they don't want to play, and then you got the other half saying they want to play. Jonathan, I'm gonna get your, you know, your opinion on this first. Should sports just be canceled until we get this Corona thing fully under control, or should it be sports played?
No, it shouldn't be canceled. And I don't think this is a LeBron versus Kyrie thing. I think they're both right, actually. But I don't think it should be canceled because you're talking about people's livelihoods. There's really, really big money in these TV rights. And in the position of the NBA, it's, you know, do they fulfill enough games to hit that threshold with the TV rights that affects their abilities in the collective bargaining agreement for 2021 between the NBA and the NBA Players Association. So there's big money in that. And you have to remember that, yeah, we're talking about LeBron and Kyrie, you know, these multimillionaires, but there's a slew of athletes that aren't making those millions. You know, there are a lot of black athletes that are making, you know, the bare minimum in terms of, you know, professional salaries and stuff like that for the league. So players that feel like they don't want to play either for COVID or because of the revolution, you know, that's cool. players who feel they want to play because they need to make that bread, or because they feel like by keeping themselves in the public eye like that, that they can affect things in other ways, that's cool too. You know, you can't really judge one against the other when they both have different philosophies and different focal points that are all necessary. It's the same thing with football. You know, the amount of games they play affects the TV rights, which affects the agreements that are going to come up for next year. And business is business, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we can all say we don't want them in there and stuff like that. And then next year, when they get a bum deal or when, you know, they get jerked around by the league and stuff, not everybody complaining. So I'm not going to tell them what to do, what's best for their families or for their business, you know. So they both have, you know, valid points, and I think they're both necessary. But if players want to play, let them play, you know. And then if it gets to a point where it gets too bad, all right, well, then shut it down, because inevitably something going to go, you know, something going to happen with the COVID or whatever. But obviously, you know, many players feel that's an acceptable risk that they're taking, you know, considering their salaries and what they have at stake there. And that's the same for all of us. Every time we walk out our door, there's an acceptable risk that we're taking when we're walking out our doors. So I'm not against either side of thinking.
Okay. Nails, what you think?
At first I thought I cared, and then I realized I didn't, because it's just like multimillionaires, you know, they got a little issue with how work is going to be executed. It's not, honestly, when I first heard the story, I'm like, yeah, it's a big deal, because they will use it as a distraction. And then after some time, man, my thought just pivoted. It's like, if they're able to use this as a distraction, we as a people really don't want liberation. If we're going to allow a couple of NBA games distract us from we really don't want to be free. Yeah, I mean, we really don't want to be liberated in a way that everybody is talking about they want to be liberated. So, you know what I mean, at first I cared more about it than I do now. Now I don't care whether they start it or not. I just feel like me personally, I don't have energy to give to it. Whatever becomes of it in terms of the NBA season. Good luck to all them guys. But I know it's just more important shit to worry about.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I see both sides too. I think that Steven Jackson said the biggest thing. I think it's not the fact that it's a distraction. It's the fact that, well, it is a distraction because, like, right now we have the media. Like, for one time in our life, the media has nothing to talk about but the issues. You know what I'm saying? And anybody that come on to the media, even if they don't want to talk about them, they're talking about them. So now when you add basketball, football, racing, all that back, it gives them a platform to push those conversations to the side, because now it's, oh, is LeBron going to play tonight? Or what's the name, war to the, to the game or whatever. So if I'm like 50-50 with it. 50%, like, I don't care because I'm not even going to be watching it. I don't, you know, it don't matter. But then it's like, damn, it's kind of a distraction to the people that was on the fence, that were, you know, like, part of the movement, like, you know, was not all the way in, but still trying to learn about what's going on. And being that it's nothing else to do, they just studying and figuring out how this stuff is, you know, how things are and how things have been. So now I do feel like if you give them something else, you know, everybody, I mean, we this society is microwave, you know, it's oh, he shot him, 2 weeks later, we on something else. Oh, Jay-Z dropped the album. I feel like this is the first time in my lifetime that I've seen something last so long, like so long with so many different people. And I truly feel it's because it's no distractions. It's no Grammys. It's no BET Awards. It's no, it's none of that stuff. It's just strictly the issue. And people really on it. I do feel like if all that stuff come back, it's going to mess it up. I mean, not mess it up, but those that were learning might just be like, well, you know what, basketball back, I'm just going to rock with this.
It'll affect it. It'll definitely affect it, no doubt, but it's not going to affect it to the point where it's going to stop anything.
If I can drop a point on both of y'all, because I think both of you have very valid points and really good observations. But, Tone, you brought up NASCAR. Since NASCAR has been back, what's the number one story about NASCAR? Black Lives Matter.
Well,
the driver,
well, that's because
the black driver
the,
that found
that's
the
because they put the news. Yeah.
Right. But hold up.
But
even,
before
the
news? Before
yeah,
the news.
Before the news.
They was racing. They was
no,
racing.
No. They were
you
racing.
You know when that. You know when
yeah,
that. Go ahead.
Before the news, the story was that the drivers got together and the drivers talked amongst each other and then they all called the black driver and said, we're with you, brother. We'll support you. And then they went to NASCAR and said that all them Confederate flags, that got to go or we're not racing. And NASCAR removed all Confederate flags from all of their venues because the drivers demanded it. That was the story before the noose, because the noose was at a race. It was after that. That's why they snuck that noose in there in the first place. And I think that when it comes to, especially with the NBA, what I think is going to happen is, even with the players playing, you're going to see plenty of expressions of the movement, because you know Adam Silver, the commissioner, and the NBA has been very allowing of players having their voices. You know, you got to think about press conferences. You got to think about interviews. You got to think about on the court, what they do before the games, what they do at the national anthem. They're still going to have their voices heard. They ain't going to sit there and just be like, okay, well, we be back playing ball, so, you know, I ain't no longer black. That's not going to happen. You know, now I don't know how the NFL is going to try to curtail things, but I know from the NBA, them players have free reign to kind of say and do what they feel they need to do. And they were doing it during the season before.
Well, they have to stand for the flag that's in their contracts as far as the NBA. I mean, listen, Shannon Sharp said it the best. All of these sports and corporations is pacifying black people. Oh, yeah, we're going to, you know, or just like the NFL said, oh, yeah, we're going to, the week one of every game, we're going to sing Lift Every Voice. And say, what the fuck? Who gives a fuck? Why are these cops that shot Breonna Taylor still not charged yet? Like, who gives a fuck about these statues?
Right.
Like, they doing all this pacifying. Oh, we're gonna let them put whatever I'm saying they want on the back of their jerseys. What the fuck is that gonna do? Who gives a fuck about that? That's not no change. That's you trying to get them to play so you can get this money. You get what I'm saying? Like, it has nothing to do with real change. It's like, okay, we gotta do whatever they need us to do right now for them to play. So if they want to nail, I'm cool with them nailing. It's funny, right? That Colin was standing up for the same exact thing that happened to, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, George Floyd. The same exact
George
thing.
Floyd. Mm-hmm.
But everybody went ape shit on him, all the corporations, everything. Now all of a sudden y'all get it. Now y'all get it. Because when Colin did it, he didn't have no backing. You get what I'm saying? Nobody was behind him. Everybody kind of turned their back on him. You know what I mean? Because they didn't want to lose their job. But now that everybody's with it, now the NFL is willing to let you nail. Now it ain't about the flag no more. Now they realize it ain't about the flag all of a sudden. You know, they playing the Lift Every Voice and Sing instead of the national anthem. Like, it's like, come on, dog. Like I said, Shannon Sharp been saying it for like the last 3 months. Pretty much fuck all that pacifying. Get these laws changed. Get these cops in jail. That's it. That's what, to me, that's what all this is about. You know what I'm saying? That's what all this is about. If these guys don't go jail, all that pacifying don't mean shit. We still have the issue. The issue is white cops, fucking cops. I didn't even say white, just cops, period, killing unarmed black men in women, in kids. That's the issue, and getting off. Out of all these cases that we've had in the last, what, 10 years, maybe two cops went to jail. So that's the bigger issue, not them taking down these statues and or letting us paint Black Lives Matter on the street. That don't change nothing. Because even after George Floyd, it was still other killings from cops.
It's not true.
It didn't
if
stop.
You look at it, up until recently, none has been convicted. Not a single one.
Wow.
Up until recently. Like none. There's
that's
been none.
That's true. This is the first time.
And
I want to raise a point.
I thought the lady went to jail, though.
Yeah, she
got off too? Wow.
She hasn't gone through trial yet. You talking about Botham Jean? You talking
the
about
the
one from Botham Jean? Yeah.
Yeah.
She hasn't gone to trial yet?
Wow.
Yeah.
But I want to raise another point, Tom. You said that, you know, that's what Shannon Sharp has been talking the whole time. And he's right on point. And I love that he's saying those things. But I want to point out that he's saying those things while he's on the job. And being on that job gives him that platform to say those things, to keep these things in people's ears and in people's consciousness, right? Now, look at the whole Breonna Taylor situation. You know, unfortunately, you don't hear people really going ape about Breonna like they were less than a month ago, right? You let these athletes get up in these press conferences and stuff and start doing just what Shannon Sharp is doing. It goes, that name, those conversations go right back into the overall discussion.
But,
just like when Shannon Sharp is doing it on ESPN.
But here's the thing. These guys have, like, social media is news now. That's, do y'all agree? Like, social media is pretty much news. Instagram, Twitter, like, you got real newscasts. You got real people. Like, these people have 25, 30 million followers. You get what I'm saying? So why are you waiting to play basketball at a press conference to say something about Breonna Taylor when you have a – like, these guys have a platform. Like, if LeBron tweets something, it goes straight to Fox 5 News. If Kyrie – Kevin Durant, Curry, these guys are mega stars. They don't need to play basketball to have a voice. You get what I'm saying? Like Shannon Sharp, like keeping it real, before Undisputed, nobody really was checking for Shannon Sharp. We knew he was a legend in the Hall of Famer, but it wasn't like we was checking to see what he was saying. You get what I'm saying? Somebody like LeBron don't have to play basketball for us to listen to him talk. Or Kyrie, like I said, or KD, or the rest of them. These guys are mega, mega stars. So if you're not saying it now, who gives a fuck if you're saying it on air? Like, you need to say it now. It's happening right now, whether you play basketball or not. You need to be speaking on that now. That platform
that
don't mean nothing because you already got a platform.
Now, that I agree with, but that's a different point of discussion now. You know, rather than whether or not they go back to work, the discussion is why are they not using their platforms right now? And that is a discussion to be had that I would love to know why, you know, more black athletes are not. Why are there not a million Steven Jacksons out there right now? You know, or where is, you know, the biggest name stars in black athletics like LeBron, you know, well, you found it. You saw that, you know, Mr. MVP in football, you know, you see how, you know, they made that video and the NFL all of a sudden is like, whoa, 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 because he's the brand, he's the face of the league, you know. What if LeBron and Aaron Judge and, you know, these big-name black athletes were raising their voices the entire time like Steven Jackson has been doing, like, you know, Shannon Sharp and a few others, that's another conversation to be had. And I think those athletes should be called to task for that, to be honest with you, by the black community.
But I think that's what, like, Kyrie was saying that without saying that. You get what I'm saying? Kyrie, Dwight Howard, the guy from the Wizards, there's a couple of them. They just, I mean, you don't want to throw your man under the bus. You get what I'm saying? Like, so Kyrie pretty much saying, let's just skip basketball right now, and let's just stick, let's keep, we got him, bro. Like, I don't care what nobody say on social media. I don't care what nobody, there's nothing nobody can tell. Bro, we got their attention, bro. Like, right now, we got their attention. They willing to do any and everything for us. You get what I'm saying? It's for our dollar, but we got to use that power and change it around. So, I understand people got a livelihood or whatever, but it's like Mel said in the beginning, bro, it's either you with it or you not. You get what I'm saying? And right now, a lot of people making sacrifices. You know what I mean? Like, look at all those kids that went out there and could have got locked up. You know, people, they made sacrifices. You get what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot of older people out there, a lot of people that got jobs, a lot of people posting that work at banks and stuff that could get fired for posting the stuff that they was posting, but they was doing it. So I'm not going to give these athletes no passes like, oh, well, you know, you make millions. You know, you need to take care of your family. So did the people on the front line that was in Minnesota, Atlanta, the kids that was in Atlanta. Everybody putting themselves on the line, so we all got to sacrifice something. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's a part of change. It's a sacrifice. So what they need to do is, like Kyrie said, is some of those guys that are making millions and millions and millions of dollars that don't, I ain't going to say don't need the money, won't y'all put together a pool to make sure that the guys that's on minimum, you know, making $100,000, $200,000 a year, let's make sure that they're good. Let's make sure at least that they rent.
Hey, yo.
You get what I'm saying?
The unless they practice squad, yo, the minimum is making $984,000 a year, bro.
Oh, man, fuck that shit. They got money.
That's
what
I'm saying. Like,
I ain't trying to hear that shit.
Like, yeah, it's different for the ones that's like practice squad type, you know what I mean? Like, they, of course, G League, that type of stuff, they hurt, but not really, because most of them maintain other careers simultaneously anyway. They're used to it. But outside of that, I mean, yeah, it affects them because, listen, this is, from an economic standpoint, it's not about what you can get, it's about what you can keep. So they create a $984,000 a year lifestyle. So not having that $984,000 every year puts you in a bind. Now, for the ones that are more responsible, they ain't tripping. But for those that don't have the knowledge of how to manage that level of income, then you start to create expenses. So if your money coming in and going out every month after every game, you might as well, if you make $984,000 a year and you spend $980,000 a year, then shit, me and you in the same boat. You just a lot more, you might got a more luxury, but we in the same boat because you still putting together shit every month to make your ends meet. Now, outside of that, though, what we can't do as black people is think that we're going to be able to look to these entities. And though I'll say disclaimer, Tone, I understand what you're saying about having a captive audience and having the media, but we also know that the media don't serve us as a collective under no way, shape, form, or fashion. So when you look at the top of the media conglomerates, it's owned by a handful of people, like literally five people. So they're going to serve their interests first. So it don't matter if the BET Awards is on ABC or whatever, because it's owned by Viacom, which is ran by Jewish people. So they all,
right,
like, in terms of the media doesn't serve us as a community. So that's why I say I'm indifferent about it, because right now, everything that's going on is going on as it's supposed to. And what I mean by that is everybody, sometimes we as people think that, okay, this is the solution, then this, then this. No, it's a collective effort. So if the NBA players on their shit and that's what they decide to do, we ain't doing it, bam, that's how the NBA doing their thing. The people that's boots on the ground, burning shit down, they doing their thing. The people that's intending to educate and setting up resources and redistributing resources while they're available to the community, because this money's available through grants and stuff like that for those underserved, for those underprivileged communities. It's people that's doing that. That's your lane. We really got to look at this shit like tentacles, and every tentacle serves its purpose, and every tentacle is doing what it needs to do, but we're all working collectively to the common goal. So that's why I say, like, originally I did feel strongly about it. Like, I felt like, yo, they don't need to be playing. Now it's like, well, if you do decide to play, what else you doing? And at the same time, I'm also not looking at, as much as I feel obligated to the community, if these multimillionaire NBA players and athletes and entertainers don't feel entitled to their community, it is what it is. It just got to be water under the bridge, because most of them are really not doing the knowledge. They really not getting the information that they need to as members of the community to be able to adequately serve the community. So now we're asking them, hey, we just want you to leverage your celebrity. They don't even understand the importance or care to the importance of leveraging a celebrity. So when that's the mentality that they're moving with, they won't be able to serve us anyway, whether they're on the court or off it, whether they're in front of the camera or not. So we really need to create these alliances that's going to help build that collective mindset. And while we're doing that, people need to be making a conscious effort to be educated and to educate themselves and to begin to read the history of who we are, not only outside of this country on a global scale, because that's important, but on a micro scale as well, and what we are and our contributions to this country. And then when we can understand that, we can understand the mistakes that Marcus Garvey made. We can understand the mistakes that Malcolm X made. We can understand the mistakes that the Black Liberation Army and the Black Panther Party made. We can understand all of those mistakes and look at their systems and the things that they created and figure out how we can refine those things so we can better serve our communities for today. The goal is to create a society within society, and we literally have all the resources to do that. We just don't have the know-how. And that's because we're not coming together collectively to build and educate one another on the know-how. It's like, I'm living my life over here, you living your life over there. If we ever cross paths, it's all love. That's what's up. I holler at you, my nigga, and that's it. But it's no real collective working responsibility or cooperative economics. So once we get to the point, and that's what I'm working towards in teaching and making a conscious effort to educate. Because it's a domino effect, and you can see it from the top to the bottom. When we can be able to come together to collectively build our communities, to collectively serve our communities, then we don't have to worry. None of this shit matter, because I don't mean no harm. I don't hear nobody lobbying for the Asian vote. I don't hear nobody lobbying for the Indian vote. I don't hear nobody lobbying for others. It's almost like they don't even give a fuck, because no matter who in office, their society is going to thrive. Chinatown is going to be booming. Little India is going to be booming. Little Mexico is going to be booming. And every election cycle, every political cycle, the black vote is politicized. Black people are politicized. Black struggle is politicized. And you don't see that with any other group, because every other group have created their society within society. So, yes, it affects them to a degree, but it don't stop nothing they got going on. They're able to build themselves economically as a result. And that's where the mentality for black people is shifting towards. When we can create that economic infrastructure, when we can create that social infrastructure, and then we can start working on psychological and community infrastructure. All of those things go hand in hand, because those are all the things that they used against us to put us in a position that we've been in since our time on this country. So slavery exists, it does exist, it will always exist, because that's the formula that they created in the inception of this country. So now, although physical, talking about physical enslavement, well, when they, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, your phone went out, but we
hear you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so from 1619 to 1865, when they were talking about slavery, it was physical slavery. And ever since then, they created economic slavery, they created social, and they created psychological enslavement. So they don't have to physically enslave us anymore, because look at policies. Look at the social constructs that we got to live in as black people. So it rose by any other name. So that's why, again, like I've been speaking to everybody, you can't solve, in Albert Einstein is quoted saying you can't solve a problem with the same mentality that created it. One, but more importantly, you have to be able to identify the problem in order to create resolution for it. So that's, to me, the main two priorities in dealing with black people. And when you talk to black people, although we are a colorful community of all different types of perspectives and things like that, when you ask the black people about those two things specifically, the problems that is affecting us and the mentality that create the problems, you're going to get different answers every time. And we have to first come to an agreement on what the issue is, what the issues are, prioritize them, and then work from there. So it's literally, man, it's so many things that has to happen. It's so many things that is happening. But these NBA players, I feel, Tone, I feel where you're coming from, 100%. But when it's all said and done, I don't know how many of them, you know what I mean, is really committed to the cause. I know, you know, I feel where Kyrie and all of them guys coming from, and they're making strides, and it's all good. But I just, like, I don't give it much energy. It's like I got to focus on doing what I can. Everything within my power that I can do to educate people, to uplift people, to start talking about, initiating different conversations, start exposing different resources and things like that. As I'm getting information, as people share with me, like, that's where all my time is going now. It's like, how can I empower the next person to understand their position, why we are where we are, and how can we use that to help propel us forward individually and as a community?
Facts. Very well said. But well said. Well said.
I think that's something.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Let's move on to the next joint. Earlier today, Jonathan, because I didn't even see this before. This thing that you sent me. It's so new to me. It's the NFAC Black Guns Formation.
The Not Fucking Around Coalition. That's literally what NFAC stands for.
Yeah, so I watched the two videos that you sent me, Jonathan, and I just wanted to get y'all, you know, opinion on the move. I guess it's a new movement. It looked like the dude that's running it looked like he don't play no game. He with it. You know what I'm saying? I gotta research it more, because like I said, I just seen them two little videos that you sent me, Jonathan. So I really don't know much about it. I know that it said they marched at the KKK headquarters in Stone Mountain.
Yeah.
So any more about it?
No, I mean, they've been around for a little bit.
Yeah, you go first, and go.
They've been around for a little bit. Same old, you know, they just exercising their Second Amendment rights. That's all.
Okay.
That's it. They literally like, y'all, we've been marching, we've been doing all that for forever. Yeah, that's good. But while y'all figure it out, we got these guns. And ain't no more of that, you know what I mean? Y'all threaten our lives, we threatening y'all. And I'm sure you saw the video where he's like, they talking about 6 p.m., somebody getting killed, 6:05, somebody, we retaliating. My man said by 6:05.
He seems to.
Yeah,
a
couple of things about them. Number one, yeah, they've been around for a few years, but, you know, like they really – are, you know, in prominence now because of, you know, everything going down. They are all brothers that were military. They were all in the military, so they're military trained. So that means that they're well organized, they're disciplined, they follow leads, they follow direction, you know. And when you have a movement of force like that, which is that's called a show of force, the important factor to that is organization and discipline. That's one of the things that always made the Nation of Islam look so strong, was because they were so disciplined and organized in their movements. So when you see these brothers lined up like that, and ain't none of them moving, ain't none of them stirring, ain't none of them turning around, ain't none of them doing that, they ready for war. You know what I mean? Like, That's what I was talking about.
I ain't
gonna
lie, their formation was a little weak, though. It was just a little weak. Like, I'm used to seeing them flanks tight. You know what I mean? They marching.
Yeah.
Like,
hey,
I'm like, hold on, their formation's looking a little shaky. But no, they about that.
And I tell you what, though, they about that life. And you know, you saw some of the arms they had, some of the weapons they had. They got the real thing. They weren't playing, you know. And so what happened was down there, you know, during the protests and all that good stuff, the KKK came out and said, oh, you're going to go down there and kill all them niggas. You know, let them march again. Watch what happens. Let them protest again. Let them riot again. We coming for them. And so, you know, No Fuss Given was like, what? Okay, we coming to your doorstep. And that's exactly what they did. And the KKK wouldn't come out. You know what I'm saying? So when they interviewed him, he said, you know, all right, KKK, you'll kill a black man at 6:00, 6:05, we coming back for ops. Like, and that's what it is. So, you know, it would be great to see more of that. But of course, you know, you got to deal with the laws of the land. You know, Georgia, Louisiana, some other states have open carry policies because you there's also factions of that going on in Louisiana right now too. You know, I saw videos of, you know, black men open carrying, saying what, you know, but states like, for instance, right here in New York, that's not, you know, you can't conceal or open carry in New York. You know what I'm saying? So it's great to see that, and it's great to see that they understand what we're prepared to do. You know what I mean? That this ain't no game, you know, and they need to see that, because if you see that down there in Stone Mountain, don't get it twisted. They're not the only ones, you know. And if the revolution that we saw a couple of weeks back, when they started burning shit and tearing shit down all over the country, you know, yeah, that's your reminder right there that shit can spark off at any time. Trust. So I was glad to see it.
Thanks. Let me get this caller on 6849 GI Radio.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah. Jay, how y'all doing today?
What's going on, man? Cool.
I'm good. Yeah, I just had a comment on the what I saw online today with that, with those brothers and them sisters. I think that it's good to show a show of force. We need that as part of the movement of what's going on. The only thing I disagree with the brother on was when he said, fuck the Black Lives Matter movement. Because I think we need to have representations on all levels, be it voting, be it socially, and be it on a military kind of protecting our community level. But so we need to have all of that working in conjunction. We cannot have any level be vacated. We have to be everywhere in order to make things right with what's going on with black people in this country. So, but I'm all in support for what they're doing. They're very organized, like Jonathan said. They're military, they're disciplined. They don't shoot unless they've been engaged with, so they're not going to be going off like some crazy folks, you know. So, and that's what we need is to protect our communities. And I'm all for that. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question,
Jay? I felt the same way, Jay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, all right, right. My question in response to this comment, which I think is a great comment, by the way, bro, but my question would be this. You know, yeah, he said, fuck the Black Lives Matter, fuck all that. And I understand what you're saying about it, but Malcolm X said, fuck all that shit that Martin Luther King and them niggas is doing. You know, fuck all that marching and holding hands shit. We're going to get ours by any means necessary. So each side still did what they had to do, and it still affected the whole. So it doesn't bother me that he said, fuck Black Lives Matter, because he's talking from what he's prepared to do. And BLM ain't prepared to do what he's prepared to do. But No Fuss Given, they're not going to do what BLM is prepared to do. So,
that's understood.
They both carry their own weight.
We're not monolithic as a black people anyway. Some people are going to do BLM, some people are going to do what the NFT
right.
is doing. So that's, we need that variety within our community anyway. So I totally agree with you. Not everybody's going to do what it's prepared, but we need everyone on every level, be it in Congress, be it as president, be it as Secretary of State, be it as militia protecting our communities. We need to be everywhere. You know, so that,
right.
I mean, I understand that. But Malcolm, after he left the Nation of Islam, and when he went over to Mecca, he saw that that Muslims were of all colors all over the world supporting the same cause. And he still believed in that, yo, I'm going to pick up a weapon to protect my family. But he also believed that you know, we can do it on all facets at the same time, too, and work with others. So he did evolve before he was killed, you know, into that particular moment. Because, listen, when I was in college, I was down for, like, whatever, like, yo. But then as I gained knowledge and saw different ways you can actually skin a cat, or you can work together with all that. You can be all linked together and still do different things, you know?
I felt the same way, though, Jay. I felt the same way when I first heard him say, fuck the Black Lives Matter. Like, this is my thing. We all know that the Black Lives Matter movement is definitely infiltrated. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got all the white people in there, white men and white women burning down buildings, blaming it on black people. We know that. But here's the thing. And it's funny because me and Deacon was talking about this today. I'm like, you know, when you say that, say why. So that people that's just learning, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's some people that's just green, bro. Like, they just learning about what the stuff that's going on with this government and with this country. So when you say fuck Black Lives Matter without saying why, it make it a divide. It make it like it's Black Lives Matter versus NFAC. So like I told Tika, I'm like, dang, I wish he didn't say that. I wish if he said that, he should have been like, fuck Black Lives Matter. The government infiltrated that. You get what I'm saying? And if y'all really want, you know, the knowledge, come over, you know, let's do some research. Like, I wish he just would have elaborated on that a little more for the people that's just learning.
If anything, they could do security for BLM in certain parts of the country where they can carry guns. You understand? They can do security for BLM. That's how you converge and work your resources.
This is the problem, though. This is the problem. We can't afford to be compromised. And BLM is already compromised because they're serving far too many interests. It's you know what compromise is? The rights movement? When they became something about other than the most elementary and most fundamental concept of simply rights for people of color. That was the premise that the civil rights movement was created on. The one way COINTELPRO was able to divide and conquer to use inclusion. So fast forward 60 years and nothing has changed. Now it's all about inclusion. And it's like, yeah, that's cool, but if you can't achieve what you need to achieve on the merit of yourself, now we risk being compromised and not getting anything at all but moral victories. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be the same thing because, one, we don't know the history of how the COINTELLIGENCE program, the counterintelligence program, infiltrated those systems and programs back then. So because we don't know the history, we can't identify the tactics that they're using today. And so when you see agent provocateurs burning stuff down?
Yeah.
Huh?
I hope that BLM is able to kind of sift through who's involved with it, if that's
possible. No, they can't.
Because
no, it's too big.
They can't.
It's not organized. See, that's the thing. Like, that, the BLM.
No, that thing is. Have you been to their website? That shit is organized. I mean, they got.
No, but
literally.
It's ran. It's funded.
It serves
by,
the arm of the Democratic Party.
Yeah. That's it.
It serves the arm of the Democratic Party.
Sum it up.
So, because that's who it serves most. Then that's who interest it serves most. And it's already been proven that none of these black people are not going to find liberation through a political party, ever.
Mm.
So if you think your liberation is rooted in a political narrative or political affiliation, then by all means do your thing. I don't have no qualms about you doing your thing if that's the premise of your belief. But history has proven through a consistent pattern of behaviors.
So the question is, how are we going to get it? In this country, either we get some other land and go someplace else then.
No.
Like you said, you have to. Go ahead, Nell. Go ahead.
No. This is what we got to understand, right? We can't look at it as a far-fetched concept because it's examples of it already. For example, right? I'll use something that we all seen. Okay, when Obama was pushing Medicare for Obamacare, universal health care to some extent, right? All of the opponents to the policy was acting as if every other developed nation in the world isn't already operating off of a premise of a universal health care system. And most of their constituents believe it. It's like, no, this is not a far-fetched concept. It's not going to be difficult to execute because look at how many other people around the world do it. It's do we want to execute it or not? And the same thing holds true. It's so many other groups in America that's able to create their society within the society. Now, I'm not naive. I know the black experience in America is a unique one, 100%. So we can't do the exact same thing. We can't execute in the exact same manner that they did, but I'm confident that we can achieve those types of goals because all we have to do is just begin to, one, collectively educate everyone, two, work in unison, work in conjunction. And that's why I tell people it don't have to be either or. It can be both and. It just requires a lot of different variables playing together at the same time. And I think when we begin to educate people and people are aware, then they can move from a position of education. If I put you on game, you're going to start moving different. Think of the information that you knew. Jay, just think of the information that you knew at 20. You operated off that information. Now you
right.
have a whole new set of information that governs your world. Do you still operate off the information that you operated off when you were 20? No.
Nope.
It wouldn't benefit you at all. It would actually be foolish. Like Muhammad Ali said, a man who thinks at 30 as he do at 50 wasted 20 years of his life. So that being said,
yep.
we got to give people, us as a community, we got to give us new information to operate from and understand that it's going to be a process. But, again, I wish it sounds simple when I'm saying it, and I know it's not. I don't want to be disingenuous to the people that's going to listen to it. This is definitely going to be a difficult feat, but difficult does not mean unattainable. And so we got to get everybody on the page that we can achieve this. Economic independence,
yeah.
economic liberation, social liberation, psychological liberation, it can be achieved. We just have to everybody
Absolutely.
Get started.
Absolutely.
And then we can work towards what that looks like.
It's starting. I just think that I don't know who I was having a conversation. Matter of fact, we had a conference call last Wednesday, and remember we had to talk. A lot of times, black people, if they don't see it, then it's not happening. Like if I ain't see it, okay, you didn't see it. You also never seen Jesus, but you believe that. So it don't mean that people are not putting stuff into place or movements into place. You get what I'm saying? Like, people are really,
right.
like, shit is changing. Now, it's not going to change at the speed that I would like to see it, because I want the shit done by Friday. You get what I'm saying? But it might take 10, 15 years, or I might not be here to see the change. But as long as we're taking these steps to change and educate our kids and educate each other, that's cool. It might take 15 years. It might take 2 years. It might take 50 years. But as long as we put it in, putting the steps in place, you get what I'm saying? And that's what it's all about. Like Mel said, if I learn something new, I pass it on. If then that person pass it on to the people that he with. You know, think about it. It's
Facts.
What? Four of us on the call. It's four of us on the chat right now. So we having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We all can go to somebody else and have the same conversation and give them the information that we just all learned from each other. And then them four can go. And you see how it gets spread and spread and spread. That's what we have to do. And we have to trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
We have to trust that the information that we're giving out, you know, people are taking it. We can't be like, oh, he ain't changed. Just because he didn't change,
right,
we told him Monday and
yeah.
he ain't changed Wednesday. You're like, oh, he ain't taking it. He ain't doing it. He ain't doing it. No, man, we got to give
right.
it a chance because, like you said, it's some stuff that I did learn at 20 that I still was doing at 25. It's like, why am I making the same
right.
mistake? So some
yeah.
stuff take time. Like, but I, me personally, like I said, I can't speak for everybody. This situation for me feels different. It feels different than any situation
mm-hmm.
that I ever been in my life as far as America is changing. Like, not every black person, but a lot more black people. Not even just black people. White people waking up. Because now
yeah.
they're seeing that they was lied to. You get what I'm saying? They're seeing
yeah.
that, oh, man, my parents or grandparents was lying to me. this ain't this. This ain't this. This person is not like this. So it's a universal change. It's not just black people. It's a universal change, and that's going to take some time. It's going to take a little bit of time. And just because it's not moving as fast as you think it should, don't mean it ain't moving. You know what I mean? So we got to keep that in mind,
right.
You know. We definitely do.
That's right.
Can I just say one last thing?
Go ahead, Jim.
Can I just say one last thing? Black people, do your research, please. I mean, I've talked to some black people that just talk all over the place and don't even know that what Tone said, like, there are black people doing the things that we're talking about right now. It's just finding them and working with them. And they are making success with it, but it's not on the media because they don't own the media. So places like this, it really should expose the black people that are doing the work that's being done right now. So that's all I got to say. But thank you guys, man. Keep doing a great job with this show. I love this show, and I like tuning in every Sunday. So keep doing your thing.
For sure.
That's a great point, Jay.
Thank you, bro.
And that goes to say, I mean, think about it. Okay, so somebody might come to me and be like, man, we need somebody, you know, teaching us about our history online. So you don't know that Nels do that every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. Because you
didn't see it,
you think nobody's doing it. You get what I'm saying? And I don't knock people like that because I was once like that too.
I don't.
If I didn't see it, it wasn't real. Like, I ain't never seen nobody do that because the people that I'm around not doing it. You get what I'm saying? So I'm glad I got myself out of that. Like, no, yo, I got to chill out. Keep putting that out there. Like, man, why these people ain't giving back to the neighborhood? Okay, I'm not in their circle. So I don't know what these people are doing. These people could be giving millions and millions of dollars because it's things that me and my wife do, and Jonathan, you do, and Nails, you do, that you don't want credit for. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't. It's not about telling everybody what you do. You're doing it being genuine. So it's just people got to get out of that, man. And that's one of the things. That's a very important thing. Like, people got to get out of that because, like I said, we had that call Wednesday, and somebody was like, oh, why we ain't got no banks? Why we ain't got, not even knowing that it's black banks, bro. So if you speaking this to us, how many other kids you speaking this to and putting it in their heads like that it ain't no black banks? Do your research.
Exactly.
All you gotta do is look online
and
you can see that it's black banks. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I got one of my best friends right now is looking for three other partners to put up $250,000 to open a bank. So I know that this is true.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I know there's other people out there that's doing the same thing. So you can't be that naive, man. We gotta be a little bit more conscious of what we put into the air. You know what I'm saying? Just like the whole thing about I can't breathe. Like, stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I see somebody say that, like, why are you putting that in the air? You can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You like speaking that into existence. No. So stop, like, just because you don't see it getting done, don't mean it's not getting done. There's a lot of people on the field, and it's not just celebrities, man. It's a lot of us. We're not celebrities. And we do what we can do. We doing what we can do with our resources. You get what I'm saying? Now, it's not going to get looked at if like how LeBron do it, but, hey, God damn it, we doing our part. So it's a lot of people just like us that's doing their part that we don't know. We just got, you know, the universe to bring us all together, man. As long as we stay positive and keep doing the right thing and leave with love, like, they'll bring us all together and remove the people that don't need to be in this movement. Because the people that don't need to be in this movement already removed themselves anyway. So we ain't even got to worry about that. Like you said, the people that want to move forward, going to move forward. The people that don't give two shits, not going to give two shits. They're going to be distracted by whatever come on and move. So that's what it is.
But you know what the difference is?
We got 60 seconds.
You know,
we got 60 seconds.
Oh.
Hold on, before we, I'm gonna let you go, Jonathan. But I just want to get y'all stuff on before you say what you say. Nails, can you let everybody know where they can find you at?
Yeah, I'm on all social platforms. K Nels, K A Y N E L L Z. That's all social platforms: Google, Facebook, so on and so forth.
And can you tell them when they can tune in to your reading?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I do every Sunday and every Wednesday, I do a live reading of different literature that pertains to black people for now. It will branch out, but I want to lay some foundation down. So every Sunday and Wednesday night, I'm reading between the hours of 9 10. I usually get on there, if not for anything else, but an hour, and just try to engage in conversation and help each other learn.
That's powerful.
Jonathan, can you let everybody know where they can find you at?
Yes, sir. It's JePhotos_CEO, JePhotos_CEO on all social media platforms. Or you can always hashtag GEI. You'll find me. I am privileged to serve as the GEI president.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GEI_tone. As of lately, I haven't been on Facebook like that unless I have something to say or something to post. But you can go on there. I mean, you know, you can inbox me if you need me, Tone Mitchell. You can follow the GEI Radio on all social media platforms. Also, you can follow the show on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Sunday, 6 to 7 p.m. You know, thanks for everybody that tuned in, all the listeners that go back and tune in. That's awesome. We appreciate it. You know, Jonathan, what you was going to say, though? I just wanted to get all that out.
Yeah, no doubt. Last point, because what you said was something to really think about, and I want to leave our listeners with this. I agree with everything you're saying. The only thing is we live in the age of the internet, and I more knowledge is going around on these social media platforms than people give it credit for. Remember, the initial protests when they were burning it down, that was all organized on social media. You know what I mean? So you know we know about the NFAC because of social media. So as long as people like the three of us and our caller Jay and others continue to use that platform, just post stuff, bro. You don't know where it's going to end up because social media is real and it's something that they can't contain us on. You know, we can get our message out on social media. You know, the media in general, yeah, they got that henpecked. But I'm telling you, the social media, with this generation coming up, you know, and people like Kay Nels leading them, yeah, we're going to get that out there. So that's how knowledge is being fed and delivered in these times.
For sure. Yeah, I ain't going to lie, because a lot of stuff, like you said, I never heard of them ever until you sent me the video and I watched it and was like, wow, you know, like that's dope. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, we need all that. You know, like I said, even with the kids, we need basketball players, we need football players, but we also need doctors and lawyers too. You get what I'm saying? Like we need to be represented in everything, not just, you know, not just one thing. So it's just so much, man. It's just so much to talk about. It's so much. Like I feel like 2020 was a reset for the black community, and we get a chance to not only really, you know, look at America. You know, some of us already knew what America was about, but you'd be surprised how many people, man, go through life. Was going through life, just not understanding how this country is really ran. You know what I'm saying? And I think everybody got a firsthand look, and it's still more to learn. But I think a lot of people got a firsthand look at how this country is, man. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people went back and did some history, started, you know, of course, like you said, Mel's doing what he's doing. But there's certain things all y'all post, and there's other people that's on my Instagrams and Facebooks, they'll post something, and I'll go look it up, and I'll be like, damn, I didn't even know that. Matter of fact, Mel, we were talking maybe a couple of weeks ago, I can't even remember what the topic was. You told me something, the jockeys. I never knew that.
Oh.
I've never knew how that came about. So it's just little information like that.
The horse jockeys.
Yeah. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Not only did I never know it, I never even heard the conversation. I never even, you know, heard people talk about it until you said it.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. Yeah.
It's a deep history. And it's crazy because, like I said, I learned that, of course, from reading 40 Million Dollar Slave. in the history of blacks in athletics and, like, going all the way back to the plantation. And I'm like, yo, like, it's crazy how everything – that's why I say slavery has been ingratiated in every single part of the black experience, like every single part. And I'm not saying that as a negative connotation. I'm saying just understanding that premise will allow you to understand how deeply rooted the psychological ramifications of slavery is. And when you want to truly be free and truly be liberated from it, you have to address the root cause and not the effect. And that's what I posted about today.
Thank you.
The only problem I see more and more with the African-American community today is everybody gets so caught up in just simply pacifying the symptoms and never really addressing what's really the issue. So that's why I'm not surprised that these companies is doing everything that they do to cater to a black audience now. It's not they knew all along about how much of their money and how much of the black influence was important to these companies. It's not that they didn't know. They just had no incentive to pander the way they are now. It's the black people that's now finally realizing, oh, we have buying power. Oh, we appeal in this way. We appeal in that way. Now all of a sudden you got every corporation under the sun aligning themselves with this idea of black liberation or Black Lives Matter, to put it in that context. The reason why is because they know how much of their income is tied to the influences of black people, how much of what they do. I mean, we built this country and we continue to maintain this country contrary to what anybody say.
Same.
Right.
Built it and keeping it going.
Right.
Ain't that crazy? We built it for free, and then we're paying to keep it going.
And people
don't even understand that. People don't even
That's why the economic aspect is so important. Like understanding economics, like truly understanding economics, so you'll be able to know how those types of constructs was created as well. Like you see people talking about redlining now. And how, you know, how they subjugated all black people to a certain community and then dried all the resources out of that community and then left the community degraded and then pointed at it and said, look at these black folks. They don't know how to act. Look at them. They live in poverty, drugs, roaches, and destitution. Look at them. They put a magnifying glass after they created the environment that exists. They pointed at it and said, see, look at it. So those are the things that, you know, where we need to be educated on as a people. Because that's the only way we can change those communities. Or if not, we just forever live under the control.
And you know another thing too,
people gotta be open
to new things. Because again, like you said, Nails, and this is crazy because, like, you know, I talk to my pops a lot. I talk to a lot of older people, and I can truly say, like okay. That information that you got back then, I get it. Some of that stuff is still happening, but it's a new time. You have to update your info. Nails, man, you had this conversation. You get what I'm saying? So don't get stuck in your information. Don't get stuck like this is what it is, and you don't want to feed your brain nothing new. Oh no, I know what it is. It's it's just like that. Like my grandmother always told me, if you're going to read everything. Don't just read the Bible. Read the Quran. Read this. Do this. You know, that's how you get a better understanding of what's going on. So don't get caught up in just what you know. Like, don't get caught up in that. Like, listen to other people. You know what I mean? Take advice. Write down shit. Like, I don't know everything. Like I said, there's a lot of times, Nails, you're 10 years younger than me. But there's a lot of times you say certain things, even when you post it. I write it down in my phone, and when I get time, I go back and be like, oh, yeah, I didn't know that. So it's nothing wrong with that. We all teaching each other. You get what I'm saying? So I take
exactly.
to everybody. It ain't no age limit. Ain't no age limit to knowledge.
At all.
You know what you don't.
At
you
all.
Know what I'm saying? You know what you
exactly.
don't. So don't be afraid to learn new things or don't look at age as, cause, you know, some people, like older people do that to me. Like, they'd be like, oh, well, you know, I was back when they was doing it. Like, and that's cool. I'm not knocking that you was back in the 60s, okay? But this is 2020.
No, that's the difference between me and you, because I'm knocking. Look where we at. The reality is we got to be honest. We the generation before us that preceded us failed us. If we don't recognize the importance of that, we are already failing the generation that's to come. So we have to be humble because we are slowly but surely going to evolve into the elders, and then what? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They could be looking at us like, oh, nigga, you don't know what you're talking about. And the cycle's going to repeat because they not nobody is taking responsibility. So, yeah, I got to take responsibility because I got nieces and nephews that I'm failing right now. And until I can, as I continue to move and grow and learn, all I can do is try to better myself and be a better example to them so I can help them change their mentalities and subsequently change their circumstances. And if I can't do that, then I'm failing. What are we doing? We're literally replicating the same patterns of behavior over and over and over again, and then everybody just pointing the finger at each other.
That's it.
See,
accountability.
That's it.
Now, you got 10 years on Nels. I got 10 years on you. So
yeah, I'm like
what I see with this. What we have to remember is the way knowledge is taught and passed down concerning the black community and what we're talking about. This is not textbooks. This is experience and
for sure.
Word of mouth,
school of the hard
and
mouth.
Research. You heard?
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore,
but that's how black
that
people
means
got it all the time. It's funny.
Yeah.
My bad.
That means
my
that
bad.
What Nels is living right now down in Georgia can teach me up here in New York City. You know what I mean? That means that all of us have something to offer and to give to our movement and to our understanding. Every one of us has a place. And I think that's important that we as a people understand that we all have a place. Young, old, male, female, we all have a place in this. The other thing I want to bring up is I think that is another powerful aspect of that young man going to Howard rather than Kansas is what we're talking about here. I can attest that being educated in the HBCU, there are a number of things that I learned in college that I would have never learned at a white institution. And it has definitely shaped my mindset and how I live my life and what I believe and what I preach and teach. I think with these high-profile athletes going to HBCUs and then going to the NBAs, like, for instance, if LeBron had went to Howard before he went to the league, we wouldn't be having a conversation about where's LeBron's voice. You heard? Because it would have been instilled in him from his HBCU upbringing. Because
we know. Like, we can't not. Like, LeBron, here's the thing, and that's one of the, it's crazy. We're going to go another 10 minutes. But this is one of the questions, too. LeBron is the closest thing that we had to Ali as far as sports and dealing with social issues. Can we agree on that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's the closest thing to Ali. Now, you know, one misstep is not going to make me change my mind on LeBron. Like, oh, so LeBron wants to play basketball.
Right.
I can respect LeBron's stance on wanting to play basketball because he does so much. So this one time that he want to play, bro, I'm with you. Like, even though I don't agree, even though in my heart I don't agree with it, but bro, this man stands up every single time. When nobody else does it, this man stands up. This man put his face on the line every single time. You get what I'm saying? Not Michael Jordan.
Right.
Not them boys don't move until LeBron moves. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
I feel like this boy
Kyrie Irving earlier either.
Yeah, you didn't. You get what I'm saying? And that's facts. Like, that's facts. Like, LeBron, every single social injustice, every single racist remark that man has tweeted, interviewed, Instagram.
Right.
I don't know if he got Facebook. I don't know if the stars. I don't know if no celebrity got Facebook, but
they just,
the social platforms.
It's just usually ran by their people.
Yeah, and after every game he spoke on,
you
know what I'm saying? Even
Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a point to be made about Kyrie Irving. And I'm not disrespecting LeBron, and I'm not disrespecting Kyrie. But I will point out that while Kyrie was playing and was healthy, we didn't hear his voice. We hear his voice now after he's coming off of injury. Quite honestly, he hasn't played in a minute. You know,
yeah,
and now all of a sudden, yeah,
well
you know, well,
problem.
Shit, I'm not playing. So, you know what I'm saying? So I wasn't making my comment to disrespect LeBron because LeBron does so much that we read about and so much more that we don't even know about. You know, and LeBron deals with the kind of pressure that we have not seen maybe since Muhammad Ali. Because let's be honest, as much pressure as Colin Kaepernick was under, Colin Kaepernick ain't no LeBron James. Colin Kaepernick
because,
was not the
well,
entire face of the sport.
Yeah,
at
I mean,
the time
but,
that he made his decision.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
I'm saying, in respect of his standing.
That's not to diminish the value
right.
of his stance. Yeah, yeah. You got
right, exactly.
That,
not to diminish him in any way because, you know, a lot of this is all because he took that stand. I'm saying about his standing in his sport at the moment he made his decisions. You know, LeBron
right.
is making these decisions knowing fully well he is the face of not the NBA. He is the face of black sports, period. He is that
yeah.
dude, period. And he's been that dude for 12 years. So he's
yeah,
that
he
dude. He is our Muhammad Ali, period. Point,
yeah.
period. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to diminish him in any way. I was just saying that an HBCU experience enhances your understanding of what it means and what we're dealing with, because there's things
yeah.
taught at an HBCU that you're just not going to get nowhere else. Because just
mm-hmm.
like we're having this conversation on the phone, I had this conversation every day in class. You see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? For 4 years, it was burned in my head, because HBCU experience ain't just about the books, bro. You know what I'm saying? It was burned in my head down there in Atlanta. It was burning in my head. So by the time I graduated,
yeah.
I graduated ready for these conversations. You understand? So if more
mm-hmm.
athletes went to HBCUs rather than these wealthy white schools,
PWIs,
they would come
yeah.
out with that mind. Bingo. That's what I'm trying to say. No disrespect to LeBron, because to be honest with you, without LeBron's voice in the sports world, not basketball, without LeBron's voice in the sports world, I don't think our athletes would even be wouldn't have the platforms that they have now.
They wouldn't be, yeah.
Somebody wouldn't
be that sensitive.
He's the only one.
Almost now. Yeah.
Thank you. Somebody got to be the Jim Brown. Somebody got to be the Muhammad Ali. You know, and we got
yeah.
LeBron. And LeBron, from a 19-year-old kid, has been doing it, I mean, unlike anybody else since Ali. Like, you know, my respect for LeBron James as a human being, as a black man, is just
right.
off the chain. Now, I don't like the Cavaliers. I didn't like him when he was on the Heat. I don't like the Lakers. Man, but LeBron as a brother, man, he got my support.
Really
I roll with that dude.
yeah.
Yeah.
At the end
real
of the
talk.
Day, I don't
real
care.
Talk.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he's one of them dudes I would love to meet and shake his hand and sit down and just talk to that brother for 10 minutes. There's just so much
right.
to get from that man. And then tell him the Lakers
right. love. You know what that comes from, Jonathan? You know what that comes from?
Hmm.
You know, like people like LeBron, when you like people like Colin, like Muhammad Ali, it's the people that they keep around them. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He kept his core friends around him. Not only did he keep them around him, like I just watched a little documentary. He sat down with them and told them, like, listen, he knew that they wasn't going to make it to the league. You get what I'm saying? So he was like, okay,
right.
mm-hmm. you're going to go to school for this and you're going to run this. What you want to do? Okay, you're going to be my agent. Okay, what you want to do? You get what I'm saying? Like a lot of times, man, it's some people that's just different than other people, bro. A lot of times
yeah.
you got an 18-year-old kid with $100 million. The first thing they think is, let's turn up. Let's buy. Let's ball out. Let's ball out. The first thing he did was sit down with his boys and create opportunity for them to never have to work for somebody else. So
yeah.
with that, with knowing that, like, think about it. Just think, Jonathan, if you my accountant, Nail's my manager,
bro, I'm so comfortable to do what I need to do because I know y'all. This ain't no white man that I don't know that came in my life that somebody gave me. These are boys that we slept on the same floor together. We ducked gunshots together. We, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
So he can go out and be himself.
Right.
He can go out and talk how he want to talk because guess who got his back? Guess who his team is? His brothers, his boys.
Right.
And that's the main thing about, that's the one thing as far as business. That's why a lot of black businesses don't go to the next level because we don't have people that we can trust. So people make fucked up decisions. It's not your fault. You get what I'm saying? It's just like we instead of us empowering people around us, we go out and be like, all right, well, he went to Harvard for business, so I'm gonna get him. But all you had to do was send your little cousin to Harvard. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, I'm gonna get him.
Right.
He accountant.
Right.
I'm gonna get him. Well, all you had to do was send your little niece to accounting school. Young or whatever. Like we don't think like that. And that young man thought like that early, and he reaping the benefits. That's why he can do whatever the fuck he want and feel comfortable and don't have to look over his shoulder because he ain't got nobody in his pockets but his boys. He don't mind them in his pockets because that's what he did it for.
Right.
Now, we got to give love to the black woman because that entire mindset that he has, he got it from his mama. And he married his high school girlfriend who has held that house and him the fuck down. Like, you never heard anything negative about LeBron's house. His family
situation is super solid. That's the real Illuminati. Like what they got going on, I mean, you don't hear nothing. So you don't hear a peep. I don't even know if she talks.
You know why? You know why? Because here's the thing. She knew, like when if it were any women still on here, when I say she knew her place, I'm not saying it in a way like she knew her place. Shut the fuck up.
She played her position.
Play her position. I got your back if you need anything. I'm here to push you. We're going to get through this together. And with my friends behind me, my high school sweetheart, we all just, I mean, you know, all of us are, I got my high school sweetheart, but nails, you know, I'm just saying, like, if you could go through life with the same seven people for 30 years, bro,
that's good. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And like I said, these are not seven people that you just met randomly. These are seven people that you slept on it. Like when I watched this documentary, him and Maverick, like, bro, they was ducking gunshots walking to school. They were sleeping in each other's houses. When one get put out, Maverick fought. You see, so that bond that all of them built together for them 4 years in high school, bro, is unlike no other. And nobody's going to be able to break that. Nobody, no amount of money, nothing. Nothing, bro. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Back to the black woman real quick, because if there are any females on the call, I want them to hear this too. When Tone says know your place, this is what we're talking about. We haven't heard LeBron's wife, you know, like Tone said, I've never even heard her voice. But guess what?
Yeah, I don't
LeBron
even
had,
sound like.
but hold up, you heard me?
Oh, LeBron
guess
had.
What? LeBron, LeBron had every single day and every single night that woman in that man's ear. Don't think for a minute that all this stuff that he's doing has not been heavily influenced by that strong black woman that's in his ear every single day and every single night. So when we say know your place, we're not saying that in a derogatory form. We're saying it in the most complimentary form humanly possible, because the strongest show of the best show of strength is when you can be strong without ever having to open your mouth.
And
the fact that she's been
influencing
this great man all these years is just her, you know, she's on a pedestal for me too, just like he is.
She's smart too. You get what I'm saying? Like she went to business.
That's right.
Like that's what I'm, his whole, like, what he was able to accomplish at 17, a lot of people don't accomplish in year. This man had a $100 million deal at 17. When he turned 17
right.
in 9 months, he got a chance to sign it. You get what I'm saying? So
yep.
Yep.
He his thought was just it was I don't wanna take nothing from him, but he was on
right.
he was in the red zone from the beginning. He started in the red zone.
Yep.
All he had to do was not
yep.
get hurt.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? Not get hurt and don't do nothing stupid. At 17 and 9
yep.
months, he signed a $100 million contract. So with that $100 million contract, the first thing he did was send all his wife and his boys to college.
Yeah.
To be
for the ones
what he
that
needed to
get
be.
A scholarship.
Exactly. For his company. You get what I'm saying? Now, some people do
mm-hmm.
got to take a different route because some of us at 17 don't got the opportunity, let alone $100 million. Shit, we even got $1,000 at 17. You get what I'm saying? So
right.
it took
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit longer to build those relationships. But, again, it's a lot of people with that same mindset. You get what I'm saying? But people look at money. So if Nails
yeah.
and his homeboys got that same mindset, nobody's going to be like, yo, Nails a smart nigga. He got all his dudes. He got one making beats. He got one writing. He got one. Nobody's going to look at that because he don't have money. So
yeah.
it ain't going
right.
to be until he get money, then everybody going to be like, yo, he was smart. He got all his homeboys around him. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, bro, I've been doing that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that's moving like that. Like I said, LeBron just got that
yep.
big start. $100 million, bro.
Yeah.
Shit. You go, hey.
Yeah.
You solid. So, but this joint ready to cut out. Super dope show tonight, yo. Like, this joint was super dope, man. It's always good. I'm glad we back. Get these conversations back going.
For sure. For sure.
Again, I hope everybody had a good weekend. I slept through 4th of July. Fuck that shit. I'm off all that shit. I'm making up my own, like, even Christmas, all that shit, all those days, bro, I make up my own shit. I'm making up my own days
yeah.
to do different things that I want to do for my family. So that's what I encourage
yeah.
everybody else to do. You know what I mean? Fuck that shit. If you want to give gifts April 6th,
right.
that's what it is. Like, we make our own rules,
yep.
man. We're not controlled by these people no more, man. Like, so,
uh-huh.
Again, man, everybody, I hope you finish out your weekend. Have a good weekend. And see y'all next Sunday, man.
For sure.
My brother.
Peace.
Have a good one.
Peace. All right.